Today's reading comes from Matthew 24, verses 36 through 44. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known what time the night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Bless the reading of the word.
Please pray with me. Amid much confusion, signs leading away from you, we seek your truth. Open our hearts to the wonders of your work and the wisdom of your word. Amen. Seems like a really odd passage to start out Advent. It's the first day of the church calendar, and it's the time when we await the coming of the little baby Jesus, right? I mean, I'm looking around, I see all the decorations, the trees, the lights, the ribbons, the nativity. Why aren't we focused on Jesus' birth here? Well, Matthew is looking at an altogether different day. He's not looking at the first coming of Jesus as a baby in the manger, but at the second coming of Jesus. The apocalyptic day in the unknown future when the Son of Man will suddenly return and lives will be unexpectedly and surprisingly changed. And I'll admit I had a bit of a grimace while I was reading through the passage. Apocalypticism was, after all, one of my topics of study in graduate school before going to seminary. And through that study, I've heard so much twisting of the scripture, and that twisting of the scripture really just served to oppress and abuse people. And it makes me really uncomfortable to be talking to you about it today. Because in no way do I want to twist the scripture. I don't want to lead you astray. I'd really rather just set all of this aside. I mean, there's got to be something a little more pleasant we can talk about, right? Alas, we are stuck in between times of Christ's birth and second coming. In between Christmas and Revelation, in between God's creation and recreation. Maybe you've noticed, but maybe it's likely that you haven't. Every Advent begins with one of the apocalyptic texts of the Gospels. And that's because Advent is meant to remind us of God's promise of Emmanuel to Israel when God comes in human flesh to deliver God's people from sin and evil. But Advent is also here to remind us to anticipate the day when Emmanuel will return as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And at that time, everything that resists him, including death, will be trampled underfoot. There's been a lot of debate about when and how the day of judgment is going to take place. And many people have combined this passage with a lot of other apocalyptic texts and passages in both the Hebrew Bible and the New Testament, and they use all of that to work out a literal timeline for the end of the world. They seem to think that they can do that, even though the Son himself confesses he cannot do that. I hate to give you spoilers, but none of them have been right so far. No one has been able to predict accurately the date, the hour. But I think that what Jesus is telling us here is not only are the day and time unknowable, but that the day and time of judgment isn't all that important. Now, don't mistake me for saying that the second coming of Jesus is unimportant. It very much is. That is a crucial tenet of our belief system. But when that is to happen, that doesn't concern us. Jesus tells us that the day of judgment is going to come by surprise. I know a lot of people are very uncomfortable with surprises, especially for those of you who like to plan things well in advance. And this passage must bring out so much anxiety. Because we're being asked to trust in the future that God has planned. We're not able to control or even know the details of what is yet to come. And Jesus here is trying to sort of quell that anxiety by reminding us about the hope we find when we trust in God. But what if you're someone like me who, for the most part, likes surprises? I like surprises because then I don't have to go around planning every single detail of every minute of every day. Whatever happens, happens. I can't do anything to control it, so why bother? Well, that probably also goes a little too far in the opposite direction. I can't just ignore texts like this because it still has something to say about faith in a God who lovingly created everything and everyone with an end goal of judgment. Jesus tells us that it will be a lot like the story of Noah, where everyone is going about their daily business. The people were eating and drinking as they usually do. They were looking towards the future by marrying and starting new families. Jesus doesn't mention this because those were evil things to do, and that's why they were taken away. There just wasn't anything striking that would make anyone think that judgment was about to happen. So they were just living their lives. We're also given an illustration of men in the field and women in the courtyard at that time of judgment. And what that's really saying is that it doesn't matter your gender or your career or your race. The day of judgment is universal. Again, all of these people are doing their everyday, ordinary activities, the things that are necessary to maintain life. They're not wildly speculating about the day or the hour. And then Jesus says that the Son of Man comes as a thief, which seems kind of odd to me. And I wonder, Jesus is a thief? What is Jesus stealing? But also, to whom might the reign of heaven and the coming Son of Man be seen as a threat? Whose power would be undermined? Which strong man's house would be plundered of its property? No, I don't know. Personally, I think that those hoarding power and resources might have a bit of a reason to fear judgment. We want to look forward to the birth of our Savior, Jesus, with hope. It's so much more attractive than the mundane activities of today. And certainly less fear-inducing than thinking about the end times. But we are actually living in between times. The coming kingdom is led by the Christ who judges us, but also the Christ who endured judgment for our sake. So we can take comfort that God's judgment never contradicts or overrides God's grace. We can maintain hope because the readiness to which Jesus calls us is shaped not by fear of the future, but by gratitude for life in the kingdom that Christ already offers us. Above all, living in between times is to trust and hope that God has begun and will continue to transform us more and more into the stature of Christ, into the one whom all of God's mercy and loving kindness becomes manifest. So as we begin our time of waiting in Advent, let us remember our call to relationship with Christ, who meets us everywhere, even during the in-between times. Thanks be to God. Amen.